My brother and I had the privilege a few weeks ago to be able to go to a Victory Conference out in Wisconsin, and we were able to get a lot of good truths out there. It was really good encouragement for myself as well, able to hear a lot of good messages. And my message tonight kind of comes from a phrase that was mentioned in one of the sermons out there. I can't remember exactly which one it was. But anyway, one of the preachers was sharing his challenge through the session, and he came to Genesis chapter 3 in the verse we'll be looking at, and he read the question that God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" And that verse also instructed me in a way I never really realized it before. And I decided to, I realized I was going to be preaching here in a few weeks, and decided to take that question and see what the Lord has from that verse, and I've been able to learn a lot from it just through different preachers, as well as commentaries and stuff, and I'd love to share with you what the Lord has shown to me tonight through that verse. But Genesis chapter 3 is a very interesting chapter. We see Adam and Eve getting in trouble. Many times in our lives, we get in trouble as well. We get in trouble. The question is, though, what do we do once we get in trouble? One of the worst things that we can do is try to hide from the person that we can't hide from. And as we see Adam and Eve doing, here they are trying to hide from God, and we all know they can't hide from God. God knows where they're at. You know, God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to begin reading here in verse number 8. Genesis 3, 8, and it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." If I were to pose to you the question today, not geographically, but if I were to pose to you the question, where are you? For example, if I would say, Zach, where are you? Well, you'll say, well, you know, I'm in row number 6 over here, sitting beside Lydia. If I were to ask my dad, where are you? He's like, well, I'm sitting beside your mom right here in like row number 7 or whatever. But no, that's not what God's asking here. He's not asking where is Adam geographically. He knows exactly where Adam's at. So I have a question for you. Why in the world would he ask Adam, where are you? Here he knows where Adam's at. But why in the world would he ask Adam, where are you? We can see Adam and Eve, they're in the right place, yet they're in the wrong place. They weren't where they were supposed to be spiritually. They weren't in fellowship with God. In verse number 8, we see they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Here has the idea that it's probably still morning, still early morning. And here comes God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And here Adam and Eve, possibly even just moments before that, have just partaken of the fruit of the tree that they're not supposed to. And here God comes to have possibly even just their daily conversation, their daily fellowship that they have on a daily basis. And it's an easy way to plug in an application right there. How often are we having our daily conversation and fellowship with God? Even when we go through struggling times in our lives, even when we sin, do we get tired of God's word? Do we just read God's word and maybe not even get anything out of it? Because we can open up the God's word and just read it and absolutely get nothing out of it if our fellowship isn't there. Even though they were out of fellowship with the Lord, they still had their daily meeting with God. We can be at the right place, but at the wrong place at the same time. You know, I think of like the Israelites. The Israelites, they were in the right place. They were following God through the desert, through the wilderness. Eventually they came to their own land. They had their land. And they became so accustomed to where they're living at. They got so used to it that eventually they started bringing in other gods and idols before them. You know, they're in the right place there in Israel where God wanted them to be, yet they got so used to life. They got so used to life that eventually they started bringing small things into their lives. It wasn't just immediate where all of a sudden, boom, there's an idol inside their house. the small little decisions they made in their life, or possibly whether it's friends or fellowships that they had with other Philistines or whoever they may be, brought idols into their life, and they allowed it into their life. Small things, and many times as Christians, we can do the exact same thing as well. We can get so used to reading our Bibles, praying, coming to church, that we can allow small things to enter our lives that we are in the wrong place as well. You can say, David, but here I am. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I read God's Bible. I come to church. No, look at me. I'm a pretty good person. Are you in the right place? Or are you still in the wrong place? Some of us don't like coming to church or getting to daily God's Word because we're afraid if we let God into our lives, God's going to come up to us and say, David, where are you? We're afraid that God's going to come over to us and point his finger into our lives and possibly point out something that we don't want to be revealed unto others. We want to keep our hearts hidden away from Christ. What things are we hiding from God? God's asking you, where are you today? Not last week when you're on some mountaintop or whatever. Not yesterday when, you had a great fellowship with God. But no, don't ask me today. I mean, today I'm on my way to church. Boy, I had an argument or whatever. Or, boy, I had a rough one this morning. No, many times we don't ask ourselves that daily question. Where are we? Yeah, as Christians, we are bought with a price and internally secure. Yet we can get so caught up in the world that the last person we want to hear from is God speaking to us, saying, where are you right now? Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 gives we hear the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15 and verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now let me ask you a question. Was this prodigal son in the right place geographically? Yes, he was. He was there at home underneath his father's care. But let me ask you this. Was he in the right place spiritually? No. You know, he didn't have to be in the right place spiritually just there at home. He was in the wrong place. He didn't have to wait to be in the wrong place till he was over there in that foreign land, way far from his father. He was already in the wrong place there at home. He already had a plan what he was going to do with his father's goods that was about to be befallen to him. You know, he was probably had some friends that weren't good examples to him or whatever, and he already had this plan of, oh, look at that foreign land over there. It looks so good. Look at all the things they have to offer. He wasn't like, Father, give me the money. What am I going to do with it now? What could I do? Now, he wasn't like that. He already had a plan devised up. Even though he wasn't geographically there yet in the foreign land, his mind was already corrupted by others that he was there. He knew where he was going before he even left. And we can be like that many times in our own lives as Christians. We can be just like that prodigal son. We can be coming to church, reading our Bible, praying, giving to the offering. Yeah, we can have our hearts, when we leave this church, our hearts can be totally somewhere else. Our hearts can be away from the Father. Where are you? If God were to come to you and say, where are you? Where are you at today? Many times we don't see that as a daily question. We take things for granted. We read our Bibles. We can do all the steps that we know we need to do as Christians. But are we doing them as a duty? As a responsibility? Just because we have to? No, there's no record here back in Genesis chapter 3. There's no record of God ever coming to Adam before and saying, Adam, where are you? He never had to ask that to Adam. Why? Because God knew where Adam was, not geographically as well, but also as well, he knew where he was spiritually. He knew that Adam was already in fellowship with him. So why did God ask this question, where are you? Jesus asked this question, where are you? Because he wanted Adam to understand where he was. I want you to understand this. God never lost sight of Adam. God knew where Adam was the whole time. Adam lost sight of God. We are the ones, whenever we make mistakes in our lives, we are the ones who step out of the fellowship with God and we make our own decisions. God is always there. He immediately loves us, just like we were learning about this morning in this morning service. God is always there, ready to love us, even when we make mistakes. And that's something we can't understand. The Lord wasn't asking Adam where he was hiding at. He was asking Adam, what had he done? Where are you at? What have you done? God is asking us every single day, where are you? What are you doing? Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'm using another character here in the Bible to illustrate another point. Mark chapter 10, and starting in verse 46. Here we see the story of blind Bartimaeus. Starting in verse 46. And they came to Jericho. This is Jesus' disciples. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and here we see Jesus about to ask another question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I have a question for you. Why did Jesus ask to blind Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, don't you think it would be pretty obvious? Here's Jesus. He absolutely knows everything already. You know, he understands all of us. And here comes blind Bartimaeus. Everyone in the village knows him. They know who he is. He's a blind person. Here he is crying out to Jesus. And finally, he's allowed to be brought before Jesus. And Jesus says, Bartimaeus, what do you want? Probably everyone else around him thinking, duh, it's pretty obvious. He's going to want his eyesight back. Why did Jesus have to ask that question? He wanted Bartimaeus to realize where he was. And Bartimaeus did. He asked the Lord, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus at that point, he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And got his eyesight back. You know, blind Bartimaeus realized not only where he was geographically, he realized where he was spiritually. He realized what he needed. Bartimaeus is making commotion. Finally, he is able to see Jesus. Jesus asks us this question. God didn't ask Bartimaeus that question because he didn't know what Bartimaeus needed. But God wants to know if we know what we need. When God asks you, where are you? Do we realize where we're at? Do we truly realize where we are spiritually with our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we in a place where we are in full fellowship with him? How are we doing compared to last year at this time? Are you any closer? What about last week? Should I even ask yesterday? Where are we at? God was able to help Bartimaeus because he recognized he had a problem. You know, as Christians, it's very hard for us to be able to admit our struggles. Many times, it's hard for us to say, Lord, here am I, fix me. Now we have wounds in our lives. We try to hide them. We try to store them away. And Bartimaeus was able to acknowledge what his problem was and be able to ask the Lord. It's so easy for us to try to look at others and say, Lord, look at them. They need some fixing in their lives. Help them out. The only person that we can change is ourselves. You know, looking back in Genesis chapter 3, God didn't say to Adam, Adam, where's Eve? Or Eve, where's your husband at? No, God's talking on a personal basis here. He's speaking directly to us. Where are you? Are you in the right place? Or you are where you need to be spiritually? You know, Adam was saved when he sinned. You know, God placed him in here in this perfect garden, gave him to keep the garden. It was absolutely perfect. I mean, he didn't even have bad friends. He couldn't ask for anything better than that. I mean, he didn't have things to get drunk with. He didn't have bad relationships. He didn't have TV and all that kind of stuff that could influence him. Yet, he was in a perfect environment. And it finds me so striking that yet he sinned. And what does that say about us? We live in a world today that is full of sin. And how much more do we need God? It is so easy for us to mess up. We can't blame Adam when he sinned, saying, oh, he was hanging with the wrong crowd. He messed up. No, it's not going to be the big sins that are going to separate us from God here as Christians. It's not going to be the ones that all of a sudden is posted on the billboard or on Facebook or whatever. Oh, I can't believe they fell into that huge sin. Oh, my goodness, look at that person. How in the world did they fall there? Those are not the sins that are going to separate us from the fellowship with God. It's going to be the small sins that we are going to allow to hide in our hearts. You know, the testing is not going to come when we are here at church, how we're doing spiritually. The testing is, how are we going to be at work tomorrow? How are you going to be around that coworker? You know, how about whenever you're driving down the road? What kind of music are you going to be playing in your car? Where's your heart then? You know, what about when you go to the grocery store? What about whenever you go to Walmart, wherever you may go? That's when the true testing is going to come. 1 Samuel 16:7. You don't have to turn there, but it says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's so easy for us Christians to be able to look good on the outside. You know, we've gotten so accustomed to reading our Bibles, come in church, come here all dressed up and looking nice, we put on a smile, we put on our masks. It's so easy to fool others. Others can't see our hearts, but God still sees our hearts. Where are we at? We can look good on the outside to so many, but yet we can be a prodigal on the inside. Ask the Lord to give us an evaluation and ask him, where would God say you were at? Are you far from him? Would he have to ask you, where are you? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Look at your own life. Don't look at others. We get so caught up in looking at others' lives. Oh, look where we're falling. It's so easy to see others' sins. Paul says, Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You know, examine ourselves not to see if we are saved, but to see if we're in fellowship with the Lord. Is there something in our life pointing to say to what others think that we are? You know, just like in salvation, we simply get saved by putting faith in Jesus Christ. Eventually, we see, we could say, works that come into our life. Eventually, we get so used to it that eventually works take over. It's no longer a walk of faith. It's a walk of works. We get so accustomed to doing our Christian things, our Christian duties. The Lord looks on the heart. A heart is a strong indicator of who is in command. Who is in command in your life? Look in your own heart. You know, I can't see you guys' hearts. God can, and yourself. But where's your heart continually go to? Jeremiah 17. Turn there if you will. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. What does it mean, try the reins? Well, looking back in verse 9, it says, we see that the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the Lord is tugging our reins to see if our heart is in fellowship with Him. He puts trials into our lives. He's not looking in ways to be able to knock us down, like, oh, look at him, fell over, can't wait to slap us over. No. God's looking to pull us alongside him. It's easy to be under control when we have no other choice in our lives, when we're in a controlled environment. You know, I think of, like, for example, gangs when they go to prison, whatever. There they are in a controlled environment. They want to get out? Easy. Just follow the rules, right? It's so easy for a controlled environment for them to follow rules. Eventually, they get out of prison, and what do? They're not following the rules anymore. They follow their heart. They don't care about others. They just do what they want to do. And it's so easy. Same thing for us Christians as well. We're just like those people in prison. We come in church, and here we are, just like those people. It's easy to follow the rules. We do this. We come in church. We sing songs. We put on a smile. Read our Bible. Fellowship with one another, possibly give another person a word of encouragement. But then we go into our own lives. What happens then? The test of who we are in the heart is when we go to work, when we drive along the road. Where are you? Are you in the right place, geographically and spiritually, or the wrong place? Is your heart closer to Jesus today than it was last year? And many times we like to judge ourselves, like, all right, let's see, where would I be at? You know, I'm just going to use examples here. You know, Brother Miller here, you know, I'll say he's right here, okay? Brother Heisey, you know, he might be about the same. Pastor Sean, ooh, okay, I'll put him a little higher. You know, I'm doing pretty good compared to other people. That's not the standard God looks at. God says, don't look at other people's lives. Don't compare yourselves to others. Where are you at with Him? So many times we try to please God with our own works, and that is not what He wants. He wants a surrendered heart that's given to Him. Where's our heart? You know, I think of Cain. We see Cain in the Bible here with his brother Abel. Here they come to give their offerings to Jesus. And Cain, I can imagine just what I've seen through others as well. You know, I think it'd be a little harder to be a gardener than be a sheep herder. I don't know what you guys think, but being a gardener, you got to do a lot of planting, you got to toil the soil, you got to continually water plants, you got to pick the fruit, and what do you do with sheep? You just walk around with sheep. I think Abel's got a pretty easy job. And here, Abel, all he has got to do is bring one lamb. What does Cain do? No, Cain was in the right place. He was in the right place. He was where he needed to be. You know, he brought the best fruit he had. He probably grabbed the best cantaloupe he had. He probably grabbed the best tomatoes, cucumbers. He probably left the Brussels sprouts out, but he probably got the best broccoli. I mean, he grabbed all his best fruit and gave to God. Lord, look what I gave to you. I'm giving you my absolute best. These are all my works. I'm giving them to you. And what does God do? He rejects Cain. And how often are we Christians just like Cain? It's so easy to give money off from plate. God says, I don't need your money. I don't need your gold. You know, I pave streets with gold. I don't need that. No, I don't need your Rolls Royce. I don't need your car. I don't need your house. It's so easy to give material things to God. It's so easy to do works. look good in others' eyes. That's not what God wants. He wants our hearts. No, a good test is to see how we handle absolute truth in our lives. You know, God rejected Cain's offering, and Cain had a choice to make. He realized what he needed to do. He realized God told him, hey, you got to give a lamb. And Cain immediately got bitterness in his life. He's like, I'm not going to my brother. His very own brother. He wouldn't go to his brother to ask for a lamb. He's like, I'm not going to do that. He rejected God. God is asking where you are, not to hurt you, but to point yourself out and help you fix him. He wants you to realize where you're at. You know, God wanted to fully restore his relationship with Cain, even after Cain murdered Abel. God spoke with Cain, and he still could have restored that relationship. He could have gone on earth and right. You know, God even had mercy. Here Cain is a murderer. He murdered his own brother. God could have immediately just struck him dead just like that. Yet God had mercy on Cain's life. He allowed him to live. But where are we as Christians? You know, we can get away with so many things in our lives. We can reject God's truth. We can go from here living just like as we were. But where are we at? God's asking you, where are you at? Are you going to allow him to point those things out? Are you going to allow him to fix you? Cain's anger, jealousy, envy, bitterness, malice was so strong against the Lord accepting Abel that he refused to accept the way out. And many times we can be like that as Christians as well, here in the church as well. Oh, look at brother and so-and-so. Oh, they're being so blessed by the Lord. I can't stand that. Just like Cain and Abel. We're just like Cain, looking at that Abel, seeing how the Lord is blessing Abel. We get so jealousy in our lives. We get envy, bitterness. I can't stand that. Are you concerned about where you are with Christ or where with others are with Christ? How about this? Are you as concerned where you are with Christ just as you are about where others are with Christ? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 5. Here we see Paul speaking. He says in verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, that verse there basically kind of totally goes against what the world's pushing today. The world is saying, you know what? Pick yourself up. You know, you can do better next time. Get after it again. You know, keep working at it. You can do it. You're strong enough. You can do it. What does Paul here say? For when I am weak, then I am strong. It didn't matter where Paul thought, others thought that he was, because in God's eyes, he was exactly where he needed to be. You know, we can look at Paul's life, possibly even others in that day, we're looking at Paul's life and like, man, what a horrible life. know, he mustn't be in the will of God. That's absolutely horrible. But Paul, he was probably looking back at them saying, I need to be exactly where I need to be. I'm in the right place, both geographically and spiritually. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. Now we think of all the things Paul went through. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He was stoned, persecuted. And even when he came to the end of his life, he said, I've run the race. How can that even be said of us? Have we run the race? Well, when we look at other people's lives and we see other people's lives being persecuted, we're like, oh, I can't stand that. I can't do that. You know what? Paul knew he was in the right place. He was where he needed to be. It didn't matter. Paul never spent his time looking at others' lives. He needed to be where he needed to be. I have a question for you guys. Has God ever walked with you? When was the last time God walked with you? Is it just on a weekly basis here on Sundays? You should look forward to those weekly moments that you can get a spiritual energy boost to get you through the week. And come back on Wednesdays, possibly even just to last through the last half of the week. When was the last time you walked with God? Would he have to come to your life and say, where are you? There's a song I was wanting to look at. I believe it's called In the Garden. I should read here what it says. Skip into the chorus. It says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Do you have peace in those hours when you walk with God? Or are you like Adam when you hear Jesus walking in the garden and he's coming to meet you, you're like, oh, where's the bush? Where's the tree? Where can I hide behind? I can't meet with God now. Where's your heart at? Are you in fellowship with Christ? What are you trying to hide behind? Are you wearing a mask? Where are you? God knows where you're at. Do you know where you're at? You know, going back to the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he was there. He was living his life. He was enjoying his life to the fullest. Eventually, he ran out of money. And he went to the pig pen, and he had to live his life there for a while. And he was thinking to himself. And then in the Bible, I believe it says something along the lines of this. And he came to himself. That means he realized where he was. It's basically kind of like God asking the prodigal son, where are you? And prodigal son realized, wow, I know where I'm at. And he knew what he needed to do. Instead of realizing where he was at and being like a Cain, instead of rejecting or doing whatever, he became humble enough to admit his wrongdoings. He was able to confess those things to his father. He came to himself. He realized he was out of fellowship with his father. Are you in fellowship with your father? He said, I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Can I ask you guys the question again? Where are you? I know where you guys are at. I can see you. I know where you're at geographically. Where are you spiritually? Jesus is asking you guys that question right now. He knows where you're at. Do you? Are we like Adam, trying to hide our sin? Are we like Cain? Are we like Abel, being in fellowship with God? Where are you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this verse you've been able to just to reveal to me, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the truth that just comes from it. Lord, I pray that we would not be like Adam, Lord, that we would not be like Cain, that we would not try to be hiding from our sin, Lord, But Lord, would we be in fellowship with you every day, Lord? Would we draw closer to you? Would we be able to walk with you as Adam did before? Would we be walking with you in the garden, step by step, along your side, knowing where we are at? Lord, I pray for every single person here as well, Lord. Will we not only grow as a church as a whole, Lord, but Lord, will we each grow individually? Would our walks with you be something like it has never been before? Would we be willing to confess our faults, Lord? Lord, you know where we're at. Would we be humble enough to admit where we're at? I pray this all in your name. Amen.